Please welcome Rachel Ross.
I have a little prop, too. Back in the day, believe it or not, I was a lean, mean dancing machine. I discovered in my teens that I had a pretty good internal metronome that would keep me on the one, and I fell in love with partner style dancing. First, I was a teen disco queen, and then I got bit by the salsa bug, and that's fabulous partner style dancing, merengue, cha-cha-cha, mambo, guaracha, charanga. I did all of it, and it was my bliss. It was my high. I didn't need a gym or a workout because I would get a second wind out on the dance floor, sort of like an athlete, where you were just living on air and bliss and ecstasy, just dancing. And I had a wonderful group of friends in San Francisco in my 20s who were all fanatical, wild dancers. We didn't need to have a date to go out. We just knew what club had the great band that night and where everyone was going, and you show up there and you had a lot of partners and a great time. And then I got bit by the samba bug, the Brazilian samba style dancing, and there were wonderful Brazilian folks living in San Francisco at the time. And actually, I was one of the founders of Carnaval San Francisco, which is a big parade going to this day down Mission Street in San Francisco. It started in 1976 with just a bunch of us scantily clad samba, doing the samba around Presidio Park in February and freezing. But it was a fabulous time. And I managed to go to Rio de Janeiro for Carnaval in the early 80s, and I fell in love with it. I danced in the street and fell in love with the city and swore I would be back. And the opportunity came rather quickly, none too soon, when my second marriage ended, and I thought it would be a good idea to put an ocean between me and that person, that man. So I quit my job at KQED Television, where I worked as a researcher making documentary films. I took a crash course, 6 weeks in, to get my certification as a ESL teacher teaching English abroad. I got a student visa by registering to study Portuguese in Rio, and I bought a one-way ticket to Rio de Janeiro. I jumped on that 12-hour flight and landed in Rio and was very fortunate. I rented a rooftop apartment in Copacabana where I could shower outdoors with nobody seeing me on the veranda. And I studied Portuguese for 3 months and became fluent in it pretty quickly. I had a good ear, so I didn't sound like a tourist. I sounded like a local person speaking Portuguese. And I learned also not to look like a tourist. I never carried a purse. I put all my valuables in my bra. And I only wore costume jewelry. And I took the bus everywhere, and I never got mugged. It was a wonderful place to be. Rio is a very exciting city. You probably have seen a lot of it because of the recent Olympics. It's also a very wild and crazy city. You never know what's going to happen to you when you walk out that door. Pedestrians don't have the right of way, even on the sidewalk. I almost got my toes run over by a cabbie that turned into a driveway I happened to be walking across. But bad things didn't happen. I felt very, very confident. It was 1985. I was 33 years old. I got tan. I looked great. I fancied myself the American girl from Ipanema. I even wore the little fio dental, which means dental floss, that little bikini that's hardly there. I could carry it in those days. And I found a wonderful group of dancers like I had in San Francisco, so I didn't need a date. I could go to any club and go dancing whenever I liked. And swing, actually, was enjoying a comeback in the 80s. And this group of dancers, we did partner style samba, which is called gafiera, very syncopated, very fast. And I also learned to do swing dancing. And one of the my favorite dancers in this group, his name was Rogério, and that's Roger in English. He was tall and handsome. He taught me some wonderful dance moves, and we looked really great together, and we met up to dance often. And one time, we were in a shopping mall in Rio, just enjoying ice cream, strolling through the mall, and Count Basie tune came on over the PA system. It was Lady Be Good. And Rogério and I, we looked at each other, our eyes locked, we dropped our ice cream, and we jumped up on this elevated stage meant for Santa in December and started doing our swing thing. I had on a skirt that would fly up in the air with all the twirls, and a whole crowd gathered of shoppers and clapping, and we were just in our zone. And being a little bit of an exhibitionist at that time, I was just loving it. So that was about as wild as it got until the night that Rogério and I met up to go dancing at a club called Circo Voador, which means flying circus. It was a tent-like structure covered in canvas, a little bit open air. It had two levels of bleachers, sort of bleacher seating surrounding a giant dance floor. And that night, a 16-piece swing orchestra was playing, and Rogério and I always loved to dance real close to the stage because we could have good eye contact with the musicians. That was just part of the ecstasy of it, being that nonverbal communication. So the 16-piece orchestra was set up, and the horn section was in the front, and the musicians had their charts on little wooden music stands, and a great tune came on, and we got out on the dance floor, and we were swinging and whirling and moving and grooving, and our faces were bobbing in and out, and it was just that moment of bliss. And then our eyes locked and we stopped in our tracks, because in that sweaty club with no fan and not a scintilla of a breeze, both of us had felt an odd sensation of air whooshing between us at about chin level. The next nanosecond, the trumpet player on the far end let out an agonized groan, threw down his trumpet, yanked off his shoe to reveal a bloody foot, and there was a bullet hole in his music stand. The shooter must have come from the second floor balcony, either aiming for the musician or just at random. We'll never know. The club descended into chaos, people running and screaming for the exit doors. Rogério and I stood there, looking at each other, frozen, pierced by the knowledge that we had just dodged a bullet, Matrix style. Our good fortune was due not to our cognitive skill or our athletic ability, but to serendipity. The synchronicity of our luscious swing dance moves had offered a pathway just wide enough for that bullet to pass between our faces. The musician survived. His wounds were not lethal. Ours would have been. We were stunned and walked in silence and left the club. Returned to dance the next day. We were invincible. My 3 years in Rio were very wild. I lived as a mild-mannered ESL teacher by day and a wild, hammered super dancer by night. In those 3 years, nothing really bad ever happened to me. But that was the closest I ever came to a permanent walk on the wild side.